Let us humble our hearts before Almighty Yahweh's throne of grace. Father Yahweh, we come before you on this afternoon's hour. We come before you giving thanks and praise to your holy name. Father, we love you, and we thank you for all you've done for us. We ask, Father, that you would have free course, your word would have free course in us, and that you would open our hearts and minds to receive your implanted word. Help us, Father, to rectify our lives with your word. Help us to put our lives back on the proper course so that we would seek your face and be a part of your kingdom when Yahshua returns. Help us, Father, to follow in his footsteps, who did no sin. Help us to overcome this world and Satan the devil, because truly you've given us that ability. We can rule, Father, with El. That's what you've destined us for. Help us, Father, to live up to that destiny. Help us to overcome this life of sin and death. Yahshua had the victory. He has given us the victory already. All we have to do is endure to the end. So, Father, we thank you for all the blessings from on high that you've given us, that you've placed upon our lives. Forgive us again for our sinful nature and help us to be the righteous seed, to be your children, to be those who have overcome this world to rule without. So again, we thank you, Father, for the shed blood of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah. And in his holy name, we ask all these favors and blessings. Hallelujah. I've entitled this message, Connected to the Source. That's connected to the source. Are you connected to the source of all life? Other than the breath of life, most people are not connected to Almighty Yahweh, the source of all life. Are you in submission to the source of life? Yahshua was and is in submission to Almighty Yahweh. We must follow him in this, in our walk here on earth, if we hope to be in the kingdom of Yahweh. When we sin, we are disconnected from the source. Turn to Genesis chapter 3. We've been dealing in Genesis and some of the Bible studies that we had over the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And we're continuing in this because there's such a powerful message, because this is where it started with us, with man, and we want to get to the root of all of the problems so that we can straighten out our lives. In we'll start in verse 9, Genesis 3:9, it says, "And Yahweh Elohim called unto the man and said unto him, Where are you? And he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid." You know, that term afraid there could be ashamed, okay? That's the words are very, very similar. He said, "Because I was naked and I hid myself." And Yahweh said, and he said, "Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat?" Okay. So right away, Yahweh knew something was wrong, because there was no reason for him to be ashamed or afraid, because prior to eating of that tree, he was not ashamed. He was not afraid. See, they had a trust, a good relationship with Yahweh. But after Satan got in and caused them to be diverted, caused them to do something that they were not supposed to do, to violate Yahweh's command, Adam became ashamed because he realized he was naked. Which, being naked is not something to be ashamed of, okay, at this point, you think about it. It's until only after that knowledge of evil came in that him and Eve became ashamed. He was naked before, and he was naked before he ate of that tree and not ashamed. Satan will do everything he can to separate us from Almighty Yahweh, brethren. Brethren, we must all submit to Yahweh's authority on all levels. Men to Yahshua, women to men, and children to their parents. Yahweh was Adam and Eve's parent. Okay? Let's continue in verse 12. And the man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave of me of the tree, and I did eat." So he immediately blamed Eve. He blamed someone else for his sin. And Yahweh Elohim said unto the woman, "What is this that you've done?" And the woman said, "The serpent beguiled." He tricked me. He beguiled. That word, I gave the definition last week. He tricked her. And I did eat. But see, it doesn't matter. If we're following the commands of Almighty Yahweh, if we're connected to the source, then nothing can come between us and Yahweh. Turn to Luke chapter 6. Luke 6:46. "And why do you call me master, master, and do not the things which I say?" We have to do what Yahweh commands us to do. And we will not be disconnected from the source. But we're disconnected when we violate, when we, you know, fail to follow what he has commanded us to do. After we were disconnected from the source, Yahshua suffered to reconnect those who were not ashamed of him. Think about that. You know, it's very important. See, when Satan introduced these things into the world, it's very important for us to understand the source of all things. Because Yahweh didn't set it up this way, that we would be ashamed of our parents, of our children. You know, these things have come into the realm of our human consciousness through sin. Matthew chapter 10. Turn to Matthew chapter 10 and we'll start in verse 24. "A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his teacher and the servant as his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more of them of his household? Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in the darkness, speak you in the light, and what you hear in the ear, proclaim upon the housetops. And be not afraid of them that kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both the soul and the body in Gehenna. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and are not one of them? And not one of them shall fall on the ground without your father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Every one, therefore, who shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father who is in heaven." This is important for us to understand, brethren. When we were growing up, there was a movie that came out called Imitation of Life. And it was about a woman, a black woman that was a servant, and her daughter, who was very light-skinned. And see, in our country back in those days, even among black people, there were stereotypes, and this brainwashing or teaching had permeated our society because a lot of blacks discriminated against blacks who were darker And, you know, the woman could pass for white, her daughter. And she actually, and this is a movie I think everybody should see if they've never seen it. It's called Imitation of Life, and it has a very, very powerful story. But she was put in a situation where she was with, I believe, some white friends or whatever, and her mother saw her and called her, and she ignored or act like she didn't know who this woman was. And this is the woman that had given her life. And see, again, this goes back to what I'm talking about here with Yahshua. See, Yahweh has given us life, but Adam and Eve became ashamed because of what Satan did. And the way he turned their thought pattern around, they lost that trust that they had with Almighty Yahweh, who was their parent. And they became ashamed. They had to hide when he was in the garden. You know, and that's sad because we have to get reconnected back to that source where we don't have those thoughts of evil. See, now that man knows, you know, he's like Elohim. He knows good and evil. Before, Adam and Eve only knew the good. And that's why it's so important for us. See, Satan wants us to be deceived, and because he's the deceiver of the whole world, just like he lied to Eve. But, you know, he's going to continually lie to us. He wants us to constantly sever that relationship with Yahweh. See? And this is where Yahshua comes in. Okay? Deuteronomy chapter 21. Deuteronomy chapter 21 and verse 22. It says, "And if a man has committed a sin worthy of death, and he is put to death, and you hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain all night on the tree, but you shall surely bury him the same day. For he that is hanged is cursed of Elohim, that you defile not your land, which Yahweh your Elohim has given you for an inheritance." You know what? Yahshua took that curse for all men, because he did no sin, yet he was hung on a tree. He took the curse for each and every one of our sins, brethren. Back to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis 3, verse 14. "And Yahweh Elohim said unto the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon your belly shall you go, and dust shall you eat all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." So that was that prophecy there of the Messiah coming. "Unto the woman," he said, "I will greatly multiply your pain and your conception. In pain shall you bring forth children, and your desire shall be to your husband, and he shall rule over you." So there's some submission issues there. And you can think about the problems that we're having today in our world with all these broken marriages. All the problems that we're having because of these issues, because of these curses. But Yahshua is the one that was hung on the tree to remove those curses. So he's given us the redemption. He's given us that reconnection to the source, Almighty Yahweh. But we have to accept it. See, we have to do it. And in verse 17 it says, "And unto Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife instead of me, and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil shall you eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to you, and you shall eat the herb of the field." But you're going to have to work now. Before, it was going to be easy. And you didn't have to work so hard to eat. But now it's going to take some work. It's going to be hard. And there's going to be pain in childbirth. Whereas though I don't believe Eve or any woman would have had problems having a child as far as the pain is concerned. But see, these are bills that had to be paid because they were disconnected from the source, because they chose to listen to the evil one and to follow after him instead of following after Yahweh completely. Brethren, it's very simple. Very simple. Romans chapter 10. Once we get our lives, our desires under control, you know, we can have the victory. All we have to do is trust Almighty Yahweh. Be reconnected to the source. Verse 1, it says, brethren, my heart's desire and my supplication to Elohim is for them that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for not Yahweh, but not according to knowledge. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because there are many people who use Yahweh's name. And like he says, have a zeal for Yahweh, but not according to knowledge. They don't know Yahweh, even though they use his name. For being ignorant of Yahweh's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of Yahweh. For the Messiah is the end, or the word end, it's goal, 5056 in the Greek, and it means goal, of the law to righteousness to everyone that believes. Okay? For Moses writes that a man that does the righteousness which is of the law shall live by it. But the righteousness which is of faith says this, say not in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring the Messiah down. Or who shall ascend into the abyss? That is to bring the Messiah up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you and in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Because if you shall confess with your mouth that Yahshua is sovereign and shall believe in your heart that Yahweh raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. It's very simple. For with the heart man believes to righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him shall not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same master is sovereign of all and is rich to all that call on him. For whoever shall call on the name of Yahweh shall be saved. But they hit bumps in the road, don't they? People hit bumps in the road because of their own personal desires. They desire things that are not what Yahweh doesn't want them to desire. They want things that Yahweh doesn't want them to have. If we're being reconnected to Yahweh, we're being reconnected to Yahweh through Yahshua the Messiah. It's his sacrifice. Galatians chapter 3, verse 7. See, in verse 6 it says, even as Abraham believed Yahweh and it was reckoned to him for righteousness. Do we believe to righteousness? Do we believe like Abraham? Verse 7, know therefore that they that are of faith, the same are sons of Abraham. And it would be reckoned to us for righteousness, just like it was for Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that Elohim would justify the Gentiles by faith, preach the good things beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. So then they that are of faith are blessed with the faithful Abraham. For as many as are the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, curses everyone who continues not in all the things that are written in the book of the law to do them. And that's Deuteronomy 27:26. Now that no man is justified by the law before Yahweh is evident, For the righteous shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but he that does them shall live in them. The Messiah redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree, that upon the Gentiles might come the blessing of Abraham in the Messiah Yahshua, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Are we ashamed of what Yahshua did for us, brethren? We can't be. If we want to be in that kingdom, we have to be thankful because Yahshua redeemed us from the curse of the law. Almighty Yahweh has given us the right resources for our struggle. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. There are four things Paul brings out in chapter 1. One is hope. Number two is riches. Three is power. And four is rule. But in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, it says, blessed be the El and Father of our Savior, Yahshua the Messiah, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in the Messiah. So it's through Yahshua the Messiah that we've received these blessings. That's what reconnects us to the source. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blemish before him in love. That's a powerful statement there, brethren. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blemish before him in love. Having foreordained us to adoption as sons through Yahshua the Messiah to himself. That's the reconnection through Yahshua. According to the good measure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed upon us in the beloved, in Yahshua, in whom we have our redemption through his blood, then forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches, there we go, with his riches of his grace. First he gives us the hope, and then his glorious riches in the Messiah. Which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed him, to a dispensation of the fullness of the times, to sum up all things in the Messiah, the things in the heavens and the things upon earth. In him I say, in whom also we were made a heritage, having been foreordained according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his will. To the end that we should be to the praise of his glory, we who had before hoped in the Messiah, in whom you also, having heard the word of truth, the good tidings of your salvation, in whom having also believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is an earnest of our inheritance. That's a down payment. And he's talking about the Holy Spirit. That's why it's so important to receive that gift, to be baptized in the name of Yahshua the Messiah and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's a down payment of our inheritance to the redemption of Yahweh's own possession to the praise of his glory. The Holy Spirit is our down payment, brother, which you must receive at baptism. Verse 15, it says, for this cause I also, having heard of the faith of the Master Yahshua, which is among you, and the love which you show toward all the saints. That's important, because if that love is not there, love is the bond that brings us together. Yahshua's love is what brought us, reconnected us back to Yahweh. Verse 16, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the El of our Savior, Yahshua the Messiah, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. You see, when Satan did it back in Genesis, and he was telling them, you know, Yahweh doesn't want you to eat of that tree because he knows when you do it, and the day that you do it, your eyes are going to be open. See? And that's what happens, you know, when the evil one is involved. He's trying to lie. He's trying to get you to believe that Yahweh is trying to keep something from you. Yahweh only has our good in his thoughts. He doesn't want us to know evil. He doesn't want us to participate in anything that's going to be hurtful for us. See, the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die, for Elohim knows that in the day that you eat of it, then your eyes shall be open. But I'm telling you, brethren, today your eyes should be open in a different direction, because we're going back from the corruption to a situation where there is a reconnection directly to Yahweh through the blood of Yahshua the Messiah. The veil has been torn. We can go right to Yahweh. But we ask in the name of Yahshua the Messiah. He says, anything you ask in my name, it shall be given to you. But see, our desires have to be for good things. It's not for the evil thing. So that you may know what is the hope of his calling. That's that first thing I said, the hope of his calling. Many are called, but few are chosen. What the riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints. So the second thing is the glorious riches in the Messiah. And what the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. So that third thing is the power. We have the power through Yahshua's blood, the Yahshua that lives within us, to overcome this world and Satan the devil. He's given us his power. So we're reconnected to Yahweh through his hope, his riches, and his power. According to that working of the strength of his might, which he wrought in the Messiah when he raised him from the dead and made him to sit at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. So that rule is the fourth thing. And we're going to rule with Yahshua if we're faithful, if we overcome, if we endure to the end. But Yahshua is the one that has reconnected us to Yahweh. In verse 22, and he put all things in subjection under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the assembly, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. See, this is so important for us. Once we get reconnected, and we can only get reconnected once we've submitted ourselves completely to him, where we see the changes in our lives, fathers and men to Yahshua, wives and mothers to their husbands, and children and parents to their parents. Your eyes will be open to the spiritual and not the evil that Satan wanted us to see. Let us not judge according to sight, brethren. I want to read a little bit from this book I'm reading. And it talks about the right resources for the struggle. It says, the first word is hope, which I brought out there in Ephesians 1, 15 to 23. In the word we find hope for our words. This hope is not a dreamy wish or an unfounded expectation. No, biblical hope is nothing less than a confident expectation of a guaranteed result. We know what we're going to receive, brethren. We're going to be a part of the 144,000. We're going to be a part of that kingdom if we overcome. And like I said, there are many people out here that use Yahweh's name, and I'll get into that in a little bit. Okay? In him, we can win the war of words. We do not have to settle for bitter, angry, destructive, divisive communication. We can have high standards and set lofty goals, not because of who we are, but because of what he has done. Speaking of Yahshua the Messiah. So we refuse to settle for status quo and let the creeping cynicism of hopelessness cause us to give up in the face of struggle. No, we live and speak with faith and courage, believing that something better can be achieved because of what Yahshua has done. Again, Yahshua has given us everything, or Yahweh has given us everything we need through Yahshua the Messiah. And this is why we have the victory as Yahshua had the victory over Satan the devil. Now, the final word that summarizes the resources we have been given in the Messiah's rule. Paul says that the Messiah is the head over everything in the assembly, which is his body. In Ephesians 1:22-23, which we just read, there is no situation we will ever encounter that is not ruled by the Messiah. Our lives are not out of control, brethren. And it seems that way sometimes, okay? Because people have been disconnected from Yahweh. This idea of the Messiah's headship and rule goes right to the place in our communication where we often get into the most trouble. Often our words reveal an attempt to control things for our own good. We are moved by a personal sense of what we want or what we think would be good. So we speak in a way that guarantees we will get it. And this is where Satan has used us and through his deceptiveness, caused us, because we do the same thing. We defend, we accuse, we inflict guilt, we manipulate through deception, we rationalize, we argue, we cajole, we beg, we plead, or threaten, all for the purpose of controlling a person or situation. Now you think about it, how we get the things we want from other people, how we use deception. And these things were interjected because they weren't known before Satan introduced them. See? Eve said, the serpent beguiled me. He tricked me. But see, she should have had enough faith and belief in Yahweh to say, you know what? He told me not to touch that, not to eat of that tree. All the other trees in the garden we can eat of. But you know what? That's not human nature, is it? We want what we want because we want it. Whereas though we've been commanded to submit. And because our lack of submission, we've been disconnected. Think about our world, how it's spinning out of control. We have a lot of situations that could be straight if we only would submit to headship and follow, you know, in the pattern which Yahshua the Messiah has taught us. Turn to Romans chapter 11. Romans 11. And we're going to start in verse 25. It says, for I would not, brethren, have you ignorant of this mystery, lest you may be wise in your own conceits, that a hardening in part has befallen Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles may come in. And so all Israel shall be saved. even as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer. He shall turn away lawlessness from Jacob. And this is my covenant to them, when I shall take away their sins. As touching the good tidings, they are enemies for your sake. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. For the gifts and the calling of Yahweh are not repented of. For as you in times past were disobedient to Yahweh, sinners, this is what Adam and Eve did. They sinned. They were disobedient. But now have obtained mercy by their disobedience. Even so have these also now been disobedient, that by the mercy shown to you, they also may now obtain mercy. For Yahweh has shut up all to disobedience, that he might have mercy upon all. That's important, brethren. Out of the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of Yahweh, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past tracing out. For who has known the mind of Yahweh, or who has been his counselor, or who has first given to him, and it shall be recompensed to him again. For of him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory to the ages. Amen. There are many that who call on the name of Yahweh, who teach hate, who violate the Sabbath and the feast days, who need to be constantly. Now, we need to constantly look at ourselves to make sure we are in the faith. Turn to Matthew chapter 7. Think about what I just said. Many call on the name of Yahweh. Many. But are they disconnected from Yahweh? Are they connected through the blood of Yahshua the Messiah? Have they really repented of their sins? In Matthew 7, it says, beware of false prophets, in verse 15, who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. By their fruits you shall know them. Now think of it. You had the leaders of Israel. They used the name. Well, actually, they didn't. You know, they knew the name of Yahweh. There was a ban against the name. You couldn't call him Yahweh. You had to call him Hashem or Adonai or whatever. But still, they were supposed to be worshipers of Yahweh. But think of how they did what they did. In Matthew 23:1, Yahshua told them to they sit in Moses' seat. Do as they say, not as they do, because they were hypocrites. But in verse 16 it says, by their fruits you shall know them. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree brings forth good fruit, but the corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. And that's what Satan brought forth, evil fruit. He tried to get Eve and Adam to sin, which he was successful. And that's his purpose as a deceiver, to disconnect us. But Yahshua reconnected us to the source, and that's Yahweh. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that brings not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Not everyone that says to me, Master, Master, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. You understand? They're calling on a name. But he that does the will of my Father who is in heaven, these are the ones that are going to be there. Many will say to me in that day, Master, Master, did we not prophesy by your name? And by your name cast out demons? And by your name do many mighty works. See what it says here, brother. They were doing mighty works, casting out demons. And then will I profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work lawlessness. Yahshua is the one that connects us back to that source. because the only true source is Almighty Yahweh, and it's His Holy Spirit that we have to have that keeps us connected. That's why I started out with Psalm 51, because when David had sinned with Bathsheba, he was pleading to Yahweh not to take His Holy Spirit from him. Because once the Holy Spirit is taken, it's not, you know, that you cannot be reconnected. But what you want to understand is that's the power. That's the power that gets us to do the things we need to do, that helps us to overcome this life, that keeps us connected with Almighty Yahweh. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And this will be our closing scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 1. It says, "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of the Messiah and stewards of the mysteries of Yahweh. Here, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man is found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yes, I judge not my own self, for I know nothing against myself. Yet am I not justified by this, but he that judges me is Yahshua." And this is Paul speaking. "Therefore judge nothing before the time until Yahshua comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and make manifest the counsels of the heart. And then shall each man have his praise from Yahweh." Yahshua is the one that reconnects us to Almighty Yahweh, brethren. Let us always be mindful of his sacrifice and walk worthily of our calling, because he's called us to be in heavenly places. He's called us to be a part of that kingdom which is soon coming. He's called us to be a part of the first fruits. And there's only so many positions there. And it is a numbers game when you look at it like that. Yeah, if you fall short, you can still be in the kingdom of Yahweh after the white throne judgment. But there's only 144,000 slots of that first resurrection. And those that some will be alive when Yahshua returns. So for us, it's time to be reconnected to the source. And we can only reconnect to the source through the blood of Yahshua the Messiah. May Almighty Yahweh bless each and every one of you as you seek to be reconnected to Almighty Yahweh. Let us all rise at this time. I'll close with a word of prayer. Father Yahweh, we know that we have but a short time before Yahshua returns. We ask, Father, that you would prepare your people, that you would strengthen us, that each one of us, Father, would overcome Satan, the devil, and this world, that we would resist him that he might flee far from us. Forgive us again for the sins which we've committed. We know, Father, that Yahshua's blood cleanses all sin. So help us, Father, to be faithful in everything we do as we try our best to reconnect to you, the source of all things, through the blood of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah. And it is in his holy name that we come before you at this time, asking all these favors and blessings. Hallelujah.